Welcome to Lilas. If you grew up in the 90s, you probably know what that stands for. And by default, this podcast is for you.
Mm-hmm. Welcome to episode 42, rolling along with season 3.
Yeah, my husband asked me just a minute ago. He's like, you have a theme for the season? I'm like, no. It's like every 20 episodes, we just decided like that's a season. So here it is. Our theme is mental wellness. We're not going to change that. We're going to keep bringing you information and topics that are related to our mental and physical well-being.
Yeah. And it's so nice that those things are so intertwined that we really don't have to be too creative with it. Basically, anything goes.
About the truth. But today's topic was actually one suggested from a listener. And it, like so many things that we do on this podcast, it just sort of lined up with some things we were going through in our own lives. And so when we're talking topics, we thought, well, why not? So today's topic is a fork in the road. What the hell does that mean?
Right. So many different things, depending upon what point you are in your life. But as we're approaching the new year, I think that that naturally puts us in a position where we are going to be making decisions, you know, about our life, changes that we may want to make within ourselves, within our family, all different kind of things. And so it's totally an appropriate topic. And again, we're trying to be planned is the right word, but I think that we are, or the universe helps us to be somewhat intentional about what we discuss at certain times. So thanks for that.
Yeah, I agree. Because it just sort of happened. I had a fork in my road recently. And it kind of was the culmination of thinking about manifesting. I think I've been putting that into practice a little bit, just kind of putting things that you want out into the universe. And then I read this book and it was really talking about how you want to open yourself up for what you want or something better. And so I sort of started to practice that in my daily meditations of like, you know, I hope for this, or in my journaling, a lot of times I'll write things down, my wishes or things that, you know, that I would like for to come true. And it's this or something better is sort of the mantra that I've been using lately. And one of the things, if you go back in my journal from the last, I don't know, 3 or 4 months, I was covering a maternity leave for a friend of mine. She's a school psychologist here in Charleston. And I was covering her school. And one of the things I had written was that I would hope that the school would just love me so much that they would offer me some other position there, or that I could find some other way to still be a part of the school. Because I really liked the community and the people that I worked with. It was just a really great team. It was a really great situation. And I probably talked about this, about like just deciding if I still want to be a school psychologist. Because at some point, we all get to this point in our career, and especially if you're a midlifer like we are, where you think, do I want to do this for the next 15 years, or is it time to pivot? And lucky enough that they offered me a really nice position there. Kind of exactly what I had hoped for, being sort of a data analysis or an analyst, and then giving that information or that data to teachers that they could really use that to drive their instruction. And it was really nice that they presented this opportunity. And then that very same day, a former employer of mine, the lady that hired me right out of grad school, actually, Dr. Thomas, reached out with an opportunity. And so you talk about like a fork in the road. It was one of those, okay, here's what I've been asking for, hoping would happen. And then here's this something else that came to play. And for me, my fork was like, well, I know I like this group of people. I know that I can do this job. It's part-time. It's kind of everything that I was hoping for tied up with a bow on top. Mm-hmm. And I could do this and really like, you know, give myself exactly what I'm looking for, or I could take this other kind of like once in a lifetime opportunity and really network with some of the best educators in the country and try a completely different role that I've never had the opportunity to do. And there's a little bit of anxiety that comes with that, right? Because I don't, you know, this job is completely different. It's not being a school psychologist anymore. And so, you know, that fear or that imposter syndrome sort of settles in, and you're thinking, well, can I do this? And all of these people I'm working with have PhDs and I don't. And so, yeah, I definitely, I have, you know, made my decision at this point, and I am going to go with, the opportunity that was presented to me. But yeah, it was definitely a fork and definitely something that I had to do a little bit of soul searching on of like, is it enough to just continue being comfortable? Because so much of us are just seeking peace and ease and comfort, or at least I am. And, you know, but then there's this other part that always wants to be challenged and wants to learn more and wants to, you know, just see what else is out there.
Mm-hmm.
And so you have to really sort of, you have to dig deep and really think, all right, what do I really want?
Mm-hmm.
Which one really interests me the most? Which one's the best fit for our family? So I don't know. I kind of delved right into that, but I was just, you know, that's really the fork that I have had recently. And I, you know, I think we all experience forks in the road at some point, but that one was a big one for me. And I just, you know, decided to go for it and see what's on the other side of this new position. It's, you know, it's exciting.
Mm-hmm.
It's and exciting. And as you always say, your body doesn't know the difference. So yeah, go for it, right? YOLO, baby.
Yeah, that's right. Jump. But that's so interesting that you, the way that you described the kind of dual opportunities that presented, one being of comfort that was kind of what you asked for, and this other being something so different and intriguing, exciting, and that both can fit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, both can fit within our lives and within our dynamics. But what for you was maybe like the tipping point in that kind of decision? Like, what was the thing that pushed you or did made you jump?
So Dr. Thomas hired me right out of grad school when I finished my degree in school psychology. And she, to this day, I've always said she's probably the smartest woman I've ever known. She just incessantly reads research, and she always is right on the cusp. And, you know, she's worked for the State Department. She's got just a vast experience. You know, she's kind of done it all. And honestly, just to absorb her knowledge and be around her and work with her again was the tipping point for me, because I'm a lifelong learner. I've said that all along. I would have stayed in college forever if I could have, just because I like to learn. And so just to be able to be around her and absorb her knowledge. And when I feel like when someone reaches out to you and says, and somebody that you really have a deep respect for, and they say, I think this would be a great opportunity for you, you're a natural fit for this, it's like, I would be an idiot to pass this up. No one else is knocking down my door with something like this. You know, there are a million school psych jobs. I could go anywhere and be a school psychologist, quite frankly. That job's not going anywhere. But these kinds of opportunities don't come along every day. And if you don't seize it, you know, you don't know when you're ever going to get another one, or if you'll ever get another one. And then, you know, you might regret that. And I don't... The worst thing that can happen is, you know, I hate it, it's a disaster, and, you know, I'll walk away from it a year from now. Okay. Yeah, I can do anything for a year. So, yeah, the tipping point was really to have the opportunity to work with Dr. Thomas again.
I love that. I think what you said was growth. Like, it offered you the opportunity to continue to grow, and you do know what a school psych does. You know, the opportunities are always going to be there. The degree's not going anywhere. You've got your name stamped on it. They can't take it away. So worst come to worst, could you go back? Sure. But the opportunity of growth and just the excitement that comes along with that, especially like you said, and I always cringe, unmeaning to, or whatever, whenever you say we're midlifers, but it's so true. Oh, yeah, maybe a little bit past that, but to make that kind of a transition at this point, I just think that sounds like it feels right.
Mm-hmm.
So since you've made this decision, like, where are you sitting with it now?
Well, I start January 1st, so I'm sort of closing out the year and just really absorbing this time with my kids and my family. We're doing some home projects and things like that, trying to spend as much time with my family as I can. my mom, you know, people that I don't see all the time. So definitely from that, and just really trying to, you know, because if I can get real caught up in imposter syndrome pretty quickly, honestly. And sometimes I'll think, well, am I going to be able to like rise to the occasion? But, you know, I just keep reminding myself, like, anything that's meant for you won't miss you.
Mm-hmm.
And this clearly was like put, honestly, like kind of like put right in my lap. And so I feel like this is meant for me. This is something that I was meant to like take on for whatever reason. I'm going to learn something. I'm going to meet somebody. There's something here. I'm going to help somebody. I don't know what it is, but there's something here that is exciting to just try it and see what happens. It also gives me a lot of flexibility working from home, which is something that I haven't done since COVID. And that was really difficult because my kids were home, but this is different. So really just embracing that I get a lot of satisfaction from the fact that you know, my husband was like, oh, do you think this is really going to work out? You know, cause I don't know, you've worked for a university. Everything takes a lot of time. So this has been sort of a month and a half in the making. And I just got like my official letter yesterday, and, you know, it just took time. And I think he was starting to, maybe think that it wasn't going to happen. And I just, you know, I kept telling him just the same thing when people would ask me, what are you going to do next? What's next for you? You know, when I knew that my friend was coming back from maternity leave and my job would be done, everybody say, what are you doing next? And I'm like, I don't know, but there's something else. There's something else out there for me. I don't know what it is. I'll figure it out. I always do. And so I take a lot of joy in knowing that, like, yeah, sometimes things just work out when you stop trying to force and control things. Mm-hmm. It's pretty interesting to see what unfolds if you just, you know, obviously I'm not saying you can just like sit back and twiddle your thumbs or like not, but that's the part of, you know, when you build relationships or if you're good at what you do, quite frankly, if you invest yourself in your profession, it shows and that carries on. I mean, I haven't worked with Dr. Thomas in, I don't know, 13 years, 14 years. Wow. So, but she knows, you know, I think in many ways, like your reputation precedes.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I've always given my career everything I had, and really I've always done the best that I could with the skills that I had. And I think that ultimately that's what led to this, was just being exactly who I am. And so if I can keep doing that and let go of the fear stuff of just being around people that are smarter than me, remember that, like, where's the opportunity in that, right? You get to absorb all that knowledge without paying an institution.
Right.
The institution is now paying me.
How's that turnaround working?
Right.
Yeah.
So I guess that's where I'm at. I don't know if that really answered your question, but everybody comes, you know, even if it's not career, you know, maybe you're at a point in your marriage, or maybe you're at a point with where you live. Maybe you want to make like a huge, you know, there's always going to be some fork that's presented to us at different points in our life. And so it's like, how do you make the decision? And it was hard. I'm not going to lie. It was really hard to look at those people that I've worked with for the last 4 months and say, I appreciate everything you've done. I know I told you this is what I wanted, but something else came along, you know, and that was hard. And I don't like to disappoint people. I'm a people pleaser through and through.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, I just walked in and told them what happened. And I feel like that was helpful, like hearing it for me and just saying, you know, I do so appreciate it. And I told her, I was like, if this doesn't work out, I'll come groveling back, you know, I'll be right back here asking you for that position again. But the older I get, the more I realize how just letting it out, like lay your cards on the table. Mm-hmm. Don't beat on the bush. Don't try to play some, you know, Jedi mind games. Like, just lay your cards on the table, tell people where you're at, where you're coming from. And 9 times out of 10, people respect that and appreciate people being just honest about where they're at and what they want.
Definitely. And I think that's the big thing whenever it comes down to making difficult decisions in our life, is we have to know at least a general idea of where we're at with things too. And if it's not where we want to go, I think the most important thing for us to have a hold of are our values. You know, like what is most important to us that we want to kind of see happen. And even back whenever I was doing clinical practice, and I really liked whenever occasionally I would get the opportunity to talk with them because I preferred adults, young adults or, you know, high schoolers. I liked high schoolers a whole bunch, about what career path that they wanted to go on or what they wanted to kind of major in. I was like, well, we have to do some values work. Like, what do you value? What is important to you? And even though that may change over time, that's still a pretty consistent mark. And I think what we have to realize is that sometimes our jobs don't meet our values, and maybe our values change. And that is something for us to pay attention to, because things like career don't always fill in those blanks. And then we end up feeling the friction that comes from those two opposing forces or the relationships or whatever else that may present within your life. Whenever you start to notice some area of friction, it's because there's misalignment. And then going back to yourself and really doing that kind of like hard work where you're doing that self-exploration, like what is it about this current situation, whatever it may be, that is not working for me right now? And I think that that is a helpful place. But then also whenever you get to that point, like that you were given where you have these two beautiful things, or even just a new beautiful thing shows up, anytime that you allow the negatives, the self-doubt, the big A word of anxiety or anything to come in, if that becomes your block, then that is your block. It's not the opportunity. You've just almost like self-blocked yourself from a potential area of fulfillment, and then just created greater amounts of friction, because now it's not just the environment, it's you then starting that cycle of self-condemning, self-doubting, regret. I mean, it's almost immediately after you make a decision, if you don't feel like it was a good one, then you probably didn't make the one that was most aligned with what you wanted.
Yeah, so. That's fair. I think for me, just I've learned a lot about myself in the last couple of years of A, I was holding on to something that was comfortable for too long. With my old job, it was like, I've said it a million times, I could have done it with my eyes closed at one point. I was writing the same, you know, paperwork, writing the same things on it, writing the same stuff in reports. Like I was just really burned out on this, on all the paperwork and writing the same over again, because it didn't feel challenging. Like nothing really felt challenging. Sure, there's challenging behaviors. Behavior is always interesting and difficult at times, but like for the most part, my job was consumed with paperwork and everything legal within the school system. And so it was easy, I hate to say, and like comfortable and routine. And so from that aspect, I felt like I was thriving because I had these two little kids and, you know, I had infant and toddler and I was making it work, but I was not fulfilled in any way from that aspect. And something I've learned since stepping back and like, you know, I took last year off and I wasn't working up until the spring. And now for the past month, I haven't been working. What I have learned about myself yet again is that if I don't have some sort of structure in place to my day, my whole week falls apart. Like before I know it, it's Friday. And I'm like, oh, what the hell did I do all week? Like I can't even like, you know, maybe I recorded a podcast, maybe I had lunch with my kids, but like I need that structure to keep my self-esteem up. I need that. I need something that's like, okay, you have to get your workout in before this time, because here's what happens. If I don't get it done, like it doesn't, I could have all day to do it. I don't do it. And so I need that almost like that forced time frame, because I'm not going to force myself into it if I don't have a reason to. And so that's been really eye-opening. I was curious how it would go this last month, having been in such a routine. I mean, I was getting up at 4:30 every day. I was like out the door by 7 o'clock, and you know, I slipped right back into my old ways. I'm sleeping until like 6 o'clock. I get up, I might work out before 9, may not, might work out at 4 in the afternoon, may not. Like it's just, I really thrive having specific time frames for things. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, that part of it, I'm really looking forward to getting back to just a structure in my day and having something to do. Like, you know, I really enjoy having a project to work on, which is exactly what this job is. It's going to be a lot of projects, and that's the kind of stuff I enjoy. Mm-hmm. Now it'll be interesting working from home with my husband working from home. We might kill each other over like the last piece of deli meat or something for lunch, but that will be interesting just to see, because we've never, you know, both worked from home other than COVID.
Yeah.
For everybody. So.
Wow. That's really cool. Yeah, that totally will be a change up for sure. But no, I think that it does come down to embracing new, or at least being willing to take the step to do it. And if you always know that no step is forever taken, I guess is right. A way to kind of think of it.
That's what I keep reminding myself. But when I walked away from my last job, like that was huge for me. Anybody that knows me knows like that was really hard because I was so embedded in that school environment. Or at least that was my perception of that. Mm-hmm. And so that was like a forced fork in the road in some ways, because it was like, all right, I've got to do something. Like I am just unhappy. Mm-hmm. And I was able to recognize that. But, you know, I think anybody, like we said, if you're going through a divorce, if you're going through a breakup with a friend, you know, there are so many like kind of forced forks in our road, whether we choose to recognize that or not. You know, you just got to focus on whatever path you choose. Like you've got to focus on what is down the road, not on like that moment, because that's always uncomfortable. You're always mm-hmm. going to feel uncomfortable changing. Mm-hmm. And initially, or at least deciding to make a change, is always uncomfortable at first. It's like, can I do this? Will I do this? What's going to happen? What if? And you just got to keep focusing on like, but what if it exceeds your expectations? What if, you know, it is a thousand times better than you could have ever expected? That's at least that's what I keep focusing on. Like, sure, this I could crash and burn and they might have been like, what the hell did we do hiring this girl? Or this could lead to something even better, you know, mm-hmm. 5 years from now, 10 years from now, who knows?
Mm-hmm. No, I do think that it does come down to, I don't know that making decisions is necessarily hard. It's the process that then follows that decision-making process that I think serves as a block for a lot of people, you know, because there's so many people that you talk to, they're like, oh, I know I should have ended that relationship, or I knew it wasn't healthy, or I knew that the path I was on was not working. You know, these things, you know what the decision is, but then it's the idea of everything that then follows that decision that often serves too as a block in it. And so it's just carefully and fairly thinking about both sides of the coin. Or if you're at a, you know, a different kind of fork, hell, there might be four directions you can go in, you know what I mean? We might be looking at a spoke here instead. But just giving yourself the time and the grace to really be open and maybe even go back to old school ways of decision-making, you know, like a pros and cons kind of a thing, mm-hmm. or just writing down, you know, the possibilities and being fair about it, talking to some good, you know, solid friends about what their thoughts or what their ideas are. And that can really just not only help with insight, but sometimes just kind of going through the writing and the talking process really does help us to see things differently or more openly to help mm-hmm. out with that whole process. But I just feel like if you have this like gut itch, that you should make a decision, you probably should not stay where you're at.
Yeah.
I don't know that I've ever seen that really work out well. I mean, perhaps it has for somebody, but really, I don't know. Like if you have an itch to make some kind of change, I know tons of reasons why not to, whatever else, but you have an itch for a reason. Like mm-hmm. there's something within your spirit telling you that, and I feel like that we have to really tune into that in order to create a different reality. So
you've got to listen to your intuition. I was just talking to my son about that last night, and mm-hmm. how And he was like, well, how do you know what your intuition is? And I was like, well, it's like a voice that you hear. It's or a gut feeling that you have. Like when you know something's not right, like you just know it in your gut. And I gave him an example because I could think of one specific to him. And he's like, oh, yeah, I remember that. And I'm like, yeah, that was like your intuition telling you something's not right about this person or this situation. And it makes me feel uncomfortable, or I don't want to, you know, this is, you know, I'm not happy, whatever it is. It's just really leaning into listening to that, because sometimes we continue on doing things that we, at least, I mean, this is how I am. And I think maybe not you, but I feel like a lot of our generation tends to, the women in our generation tends to be people pleasers. And so we continue on this path of expectations. You know, everybody kind of expects you, you went into this career, you paid all this money to go to school, like you should like see this all the way through. And, you know, to start pull back that a little bit and say, well, is that actually what I want? Or am I just doing that because what everybody expects me to do? I think same thing when it comes to a marriage. I'm not one to advocate divorce, as we talked about in previous episodes. I'm a child of divorce. But I truly believe that if everyone is unhappy in a relationship and you've tried all the things, then maybe consider other options, you know?
Yeah.
Maybe just consider what life could be like, you know, should you choose a different path? And so, but I feel like your gut sort of leads you to that. Like, I have given it everything. I know a couple women that are going through divorces right now, and just following kind of like the roller coaster, because there's really no other way to describe it, that that you go through. It just sort of, you have to trust yourself, because there's going to be a lot of times when you're on that roller coaster that you're going to second guess your choices. And you have to just trust that when you make a decision, like you've got to go for it and believe that you made the right decision with the information that you had at the time. And so I just, you know, I'm trying to think of like other forks in the road, because I think career is obviously a big one. Relationships are a big one. Same thing with like a breaking of a friendship. If you ever had a friendship, a really meaningful friendship dissolve, you know, that's to me like one of the biggest grieving processes I personally have ever gone through. And so again, making like, there's been so many times over the years that I have sort of second guessed or wondered what if, or, you know, all the things. But ultimately, I think that you have to believe in the choice that you made, and then you have to stick with it and believe in yourself, and that, you know, you were listening to your intuition, and this is what's best for now. And like you said, nothing is forever. Things can change at any time, but those are, you know, anytime there's any major life change, it always comes with a certain degree of second guessing yourself.
Yeah. I mean, I think it definitely can, for sure.
You're like, I can't relate. I never second guessed my decision.
Well, no, I didn't. Probably that's for sure.
You made your divorce and your career. I mean, my perception of you is that you have no regrets. And
I have
did.
No regrets. No.
Yeah. And so, but I mean, so to that point, what would you say helped you through those things, or helped you follow through?
I do think that it does come down to, I just have a very big sense of like when my gut, whenever my intuition, whenever that voice, whenever the universe, whatever, again, kind of term you want to put it as being, says that this is it, then it does absolutely no good for me as a human being to argue with that.
Yeah.
It just doesn't, because then I am living against what I know to be true. And I, as a person, I don't do well when things are incongruent. You know, whenever I don't have a poker face, I'm not going to lie. I really hold, again, maybe even as a value, just being very genuine and true to myself. And I do not function maybe even at all whenever there's that line right there. And so I just have to, that's why I think that I can make those decisions and not necessarily even have a very thorough plan. But that once I've made that decision, then I absolutely have no regret whatsoever. Like I feel very comfortable, even if some other outside things could look and maybe some of these decisions would have went south or whatever else. And I would have some, you know, pretty serious consequences. I don't know that I would still choose to stay in those situations. I just don't think that I would. But I think,
no, and I think most people would agree with you in that sense.
And I think that, again, I think I mentioned this in a different podcast. Like I, for whatever reason, latch on to different mantras and like different sayings. And I mean, one of them was from, you know, this musical Rent that I was slightly obsessed with, well, for a bit, probably still am. But, you know, one of the lyrics from one of the songs is forget regret or life is yours to miss. And mm-hmm. I mean, as soon as I heard that, I was probably like 14 and I was like, yep, that's a fact. And even like I've said before in clinical practice, whenever I could help somebody almost through a lot of stuff, I won't say anything. There's always that line, but regret was one of them. Yeah. I can't help you through regret. That one's on you because you knew you should have done something different and you didn't. And that gut feeling like maybe you need to go talk to somebody else. Like I would even tell them, I am more than certain there are other professionals out there that are more equipped and capable to help with that like emotional, like cognitive framework, but I am not one of them. And that's me knowing what my lines are. You know what I mean? So, but I don't know that I think that way. And so, but that's why I can make decisions that are pretty big life decisions decisively. But if you want to ask me like, well, what do you want to go to eat? I'm just, I don't care. You know what I mean? I'm pretty easy going on nearly 99% of everything else. But whenever I do something with conviction, it is with 10,000% conviction. We're not just talking like 99 or 100. We're balls to the walls on this one. So
I always think about that. Did you ever see the movie The Notebook?
No.
Of course you didn't. Of course you did not. Right. I always think about there's a part where he's like, what do you want? What do you want? And it's a meme. You'll see it all the time. But I feel like to some degree, and maybe people don't identify with this, but so many of us, I feel like we're kind of brought up to be people pleasers, or at least women our age were brought up to be people pleasers. It was always like lessen yourself to make the people around you more comfortable, or like what's everybody else want? I'm fine with what everybody else wants. And I'm going to pick on Barb, my mom, for a minute here. Like she's still that way to a certain degree. Like she's very much concerned with like what's going to make everybody else happy. And so she won't just say what she wants, you know? Mm-hmm. And it's like I've had to untrain myself in some ways because I am through and through people pleaser and I don't love that about myself. But like to go back and like retrain myself, what do I want? Let's start there. And then we can figure out how that applies to like my family and like how I can make choices that really benefits everyone in my family, not just me, because it's not like all about me. I get that. But you have to be able to decide like what do I want? What makes me happy? And so many women have a hard time saying, what do you want? You know, whether it's for dinner, whether it's, you know, where do you want to go on vacation? Oh, well, whatever, wherever you know. And like I said, I'm sure some people cannot identify with that. But for me, that is something that I've worked, you know, hard on is just like, what do you want? What's going to ultimately make you happy? And a lot of that comes through doing the work, right? Mm-hmm. The meditation, the journaling, like part of my journal practice is writing down wishes just so that I could get used to putting down on paper what the hell I want, what are goals that I'm trying to achieve. And so if that's something that you also struggle with, I highly suggest a journal practice of just writing down five wishes, just so that you have some idea, like what is important to you. You said you would initially work with clients on like, your what'd you say, your
values
mm-hmm. And like, some people may not even be able to answer that question. Mm-hmm. And so like writing down, okay, what are my values? What are the most important things to me? What are my live and die by kind of like non-negotiables, those types of things, and making that list. So it starts to like inform, like, oh yeah, like that is important to me. Mm-hmm. Like retiring early, being fit, you know, whatever it is, like write that shit down so that you then really understand what do you want. And then when you're presented with opportunities, whatever it is in life, you can help, it'll help guide your decision making because you actually have some idea of what it is you want in life.
Yes. And that becomes your security. It doesn't become knowing it, you know, what the future holds. It comes from knowing yourself and the work that you've done to get to that point, which makes it, I don't even know that easier is the right word, but it makes it the flow process, not as frictioned whenever mm-hmm. you're going through it, for sure. No, 100%. It's the work, man. It's always come down to the work. I wish there's a better word.
To do in the work. But it is, because it's not easy. You know, like I said, it's not easy, especially if you're not in the routine. You get off the routine, it's really easy to get hard on yourself. I was telling my friend Claire this morning, I'm like, I haven't worked out in like 4 days, and that is really unlike me. Like, I just can't get in my groove right now. And I was like, but today's a new day. Like, I'll start over from day one anytime. But it's really hard when you're not in a groove to do the work. I still meditate every day, but if I don't hit my daily five, I feel like a loser at the end of the day. And I have not been hitting the daily five. And so I'm feeling low this week. I'm feeling, I don't know, not like myself. And that is what keeps me going back to do the work. It's like, I feel so good when I'm doing these things that's how I know it's good for me.
Yeah.
I can see the difference from when I don't do these things.
Oh, 100%. You can even be in those moments and just be thinking like, oh, wow, you know, I'll feel better maybe if I do it later. Or we always put that time on reserve. Mm-hmm. Like, I can relate to this. This morning I was a drop off our little at like, I don't know, 7:10, and I go straight to the park to run. And it is not warm in West Virginia.
It's not warm in South Carolina today either.
Oh, it is what it is.
It's
the cold is, it's cold.
It's winter.
It's really cold. And then it gets like bone cold because it's wet cold. And I sit there by this like bowl of a lake that does nothing but have this wind coming through. And I see the glistening ice on the lake. I see the frost on the leaves beside me. And I'm sitting there for like 30 minutes going through, like making out my to-do list and everything else. And then at one point I was like, damn it. And I just got out of my car and I was like, shit. You know what I mean? And then just go. And it wasn't, but like 2 seconds later, I was like, well, this is so much better than, you know what I mean? Than sitting and doing that stuff. But, you know, you're right. There's those moments that come by. And I was thinking, I was like, man, this afternoon it's going to be like 50 and I'll be able to do it then. But then I was like, well, that's not going to help because I will, by that point in time, found something else to do, or I'll be feeling like ass because I didn't get out here and do it then. And so me arguing with myself, I am the only loser that comes out of that outcome.
Exactly.
I don't care what it is.
I mean, that's right there. That's the goal, or that's the, not the goal. It's like the gold is when you can force yourself to do something you don't want to do, that you know you're going to be grateful for if you just do it. Mm-hmm. It was like getting my oil changed. I freaking hate sitting at a dealership waiting 2 hours to get my oil changed.
Sucks.
And I did it yesterday, right? I sucked it up. I went at 8:30 in the morning. I got it done. And it was like, okay, now I feel so much better. I don't have that stupid light flashing on me every time I get in my car. Like, you know, but you have to, like, when you can force yourself to do something you don't want to do. My husband, when he walks out the door at 4:45 a.m. to go to the gym every morning, I'm like, God bless you, sir. It's you. Because I know, like you said, it is butt cold right now. It's like 36 in Charleston this morning. And
that is cold for you guys. You almost be freezing.
Seriously, that's a lot. My kids rode their bike today. I was like, put gloves on, you idiots. Come on. But, you know, it's just, that's where the magic happens, when you can push yourself through. And I've done it plenty of times, so I know I can do it. Mm-hmm. I don't know what my problem has been like the last 4 days. But, you know, today's a new day.
Yeah.
And, you know, today I have not worked out, but that doesn't mean I'm not going to.
Day's not over.
Actually, probably won't. But tomorrow, this bitch is getting back on the horse.
Day's a new day.
5 a.m. I'm going to be up here doing my little workout, and I'm going to be like, she's back. Because it only takes one time, mm-hmm. and then you're back.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it's hard. It's hard when you get off your game. And the holidays for me are always hard. I was thinking about that too, is how I always fall off this month because there's just so much going on. Mm. It's really hard. Your days are jam packed. You can always find something else to do. And I don't know, but that's no excuse. It's time to put myself first again, mm-hmm. and quit worrying about like if all the other things are done.
They'll all fall into place if we're doing that. Yeah. It always comes back to that point too. You know,
it does. You got to put yourself first and you got to mm-hmm. do the work mm-hmm. and you get to watch the magic happen.
That's right. So that is a fork in the road. Even that decision is a fork. That's where if I'm arguing with myself, then I am the only person that's going to lose. Mm-hmm. I mean, will there be more? Absolutely. Cause I probably, if I hadn't got up and ran, I don't know, like 8 miles this morning, then did whatever else I did, I would be an absolute probably bitch later on. Let's just own that, you know, because I haven't done what I needed to do. And that's not anybody else's fault I run into at the end of the day. That's mine. And so it just does come down at certain things. At other things, I'm still really working on, but I'm very disciplined whenever it comes to that kind of stuff. And I have this poster that has a goal written on it that I'm trying to get. I'm very goal oriented.
And you're so good about that. And I am now, I'll make myself a poster. I need something. I need a goal. I need something to work towards. Cause I need some like motivation. I need to go back and listen to our motivation episode apparently.
So fun.
But yeah, holidays that are just, everything's so wonky, and I hate waiting till January 1st because that's when everybody else is also trying to get on the train.
Yeah.
I like to like go ahead and like have it started. I'm going to do something to really motivate myself this week.
I'm going to text you at 5 a.m. tomorrow.
I hope you do, actually. Accountability partners are great. They really are.
All right, I'll do it.
So please do say, bitch, are you up? Or have you done the workout?
What are you doing, girl?
Scrolling social media.
Doom scrolling, as you guys call it, right?
I'm gonna make a real effort to do a lot less doom scrolling in 2024. It is such a time suck. But the videos are so funny. Like I literally just cackle. I watch these videos and I laugh so hard. And then I get so mad at myself because I'm like, you just sat there for an hour on your ass watching stupid videos. So 2024, I'm coming hard for the doom scroll.
There you go.
Into the doom scroll.
There's a goal.
It's going. It's going on the list.
I hear you. That's it, man. Well, hopefully this has been helpful and that you can resonate with what we've talked about just in terms of listening to your gut, allowing yourself to have those opportunities for growth, for learning, for continuing that development of self and being you, you know, mm-hmm. and recognizing the barriers that come in the way, whether it's the self-talk, it's the negative emotions, it's the arguing with yourself. At the end of the day, you're the one that has to face who you are and the decisions that you make. I mean, we make 10,000 different decisions, more than that, every single day. Are you making the ones that are you, if you got the itch, are you making the decision? I guess is a question.
Yeah. And every change that I've ever experienced, you can chime in on this too, but every major change in my life has always resulted in something bigger and better some way. You always have to push through like the hard part because it's always hard. You know, change is inevitable, but it's always difficult in the beginning. But if you can push through, like what's on the other side of that is always so much bigger and beautiful, more beautiful than you could have ever expected. And so just keeping that prize at the forefront of what's to come and not focus so much on the hard stuff.
Right.
In the moment.
I could not agree more. Yeah. See the light.
See the light. Follow the light.
Follow the light. That's it. Duff. Oh, well.
I go work out.
Yes, you better. I'm going to text you.
I'm going to do something. I'm going to do something.
There you go. Any movement counts.
That's right. All or something.
That's right. Well, hopefully this has been helpful. And again, thank you all to who have given us these suggestions for our podcast. Obviously, we're feeling it too. And so for you all to speak these things into existence, hopefully that sits with you well and that we can continue to do this stuff. So looking forward to incorporating this more in future episodes as well.
Yeah, reach out. Let us know some of the forks in your road, because I'm just curious, especially if you were one of the people that wrote in with this topic. Like, give us some ideas of, as far as like, what are the types of forks in your road? You can find us on Instagram and Facebook at the Lilas Podcast. You can go to our website, lilaspodcast.com. So yeah, give us some more insight into what the big decisions that you might be making.
Seriously. Yeah. We'll walk through them.
Right? Yeah. That's right. We'll do it together.
That's right.
All right, friends. Until next week, Lilas.
We're out.